这里
भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
So today we are reading from Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter, 18th verse.
Vidyavinaya sampanne Brahmani gavihastini Shunchaiva shvapakecha पंडितासमदर्शिनः विद्याविनय संपन्ने ब्राह्मणे गविहस्तिनि शुनिचैव श्वपाके च पंडितासमदर्शिनः विद्याविनय संपन्ने ब्राह्मणे गविहस्तिनि शुनि चैव श्वपाके च पंडिता समदर्शिनः विद्याविनय संपन्ने ब्राह्मणे गविहस्तिनि शुनि चैव स्वपाके च पंडिता समदर्शिनः विद्याविनय संपन्ने ब्राह्मणे गविहस्तिनि शुनि चैव श्वपाके च पंडिता समदर्शिनः विद्याविनय संपन्ने ब्राह्मणे गविहस्तिनि शुनि चैव श्वपाके च पंडिता समदर्शिनः विद्याविनय संपन्ने ब्राह्मणे गविहस्तिनि शुनि चैव श्वपाके च पंडिता समदर्शिनः विद्याविनय संपन्ने ब्राह्मणे गविहस्तिनि शुनि चैव श्वपाके च पंडिता समदर्शिनः विद्याविनय संपन्ने ब्राह्मणे गविहस्तिनि शुनि चैव श्वपाके च पंडिता समदर्शिनः विद्याविनय संपन्ने ब्राह्मणे गविहस्तिनि शुनि चैव श्वपाके च पंडिता समदर्शिनः
You will see now what is the meaning of each and every word. Vidya, with education, Vinaya, and gentleness, Sampanne, fully equipped. Brahmane, in the Brahman. Gavi, in the cow. Hastini, in the elephant. Shuni, in the dog. Cha, and Eva, suddenly. Shvatake, in the dog eater. The outcast. Cha, respectively. Pandita, those who are wise. Samadarshina, who see with equal vision. Translation: the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, an outcast. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A Krishna conscious person does not make any distinction between species or castes. The Brahman and the outcast may be different from the social point of view, or a dog, a cow, and an elephant may be different from the point of view of species. But these differences of body are meaningless from the viewpoint of a learned transcendentalist. This is due to the relationship to the Supreme, to the Supreme Lord. For the Supreme Lord, by his plenary portion as Paramatma, is present in everyone's heart. Such an understanding of the Supreme is real knowledge. As far as the bodies are concerned, in different castes or different species of life, the Lord is equally kind to everyone, because he treats every living being as a friend, yet maintains himself as Paramatma regardless of the circumstances of the living entities. The Lord as Paramatma is present both in the outcast and the Brahman, although the body of a Brahman and that of an outcast are not the same. The bodies are material productions of different modes of material nature, but the soul and the super soul within the body are of the same spiritual quality. The similarity in the quality of the soul and the super soul, however, does not make them equal in quantity, for the individual soul is present only in that particular body, whereas the Paramatma is present in each and every body. A Krishna conscious person has full knowledge of this, and therefore he is truly learned and has equal vision. The similar characteristics of the soul and the super soul are that they are both conscious, eternal, and blissful. But the difference is that the individual soul is conscious within the limited jurisdiction of the body, whereas the super soul is conscious of all bodies. The super soul is present in all bodies without distinction. Please repeat translation. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, outcast. Vandeyam Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Itantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sagadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Valita Sri Vishakhan Vitanscha Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manodishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadaneyam Vadati Sapadantikam Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatari Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrunda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So, this is a very important shloka of the Bhagavad Gita. In that, Lord Krishna is now comparing various types of species and bodies, but at the same time, he is explaining that a true sage who is humble because of his knowledge, Vinaya Sampanna, He sees with equal vision. He doesn't see the bodies, he doesn't see the species, but he sees with equal vision. What does he see? That which is explained earlier. Krishna says, Dehi Nityam. In the previous parts of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that Deha is the Sharir, is the body. Dehi is the entity who possesses the body, who is the owner of the body. And that Dehi is Nitya. He is eternal. So that eternal living entity is what is seen by the humble sage. And therefore, he may see a Brahmin who is very learned and gentle, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. So, Prabhupada explains here that such kind of bodily differences are meaningless because they have no relationship with the person inside. The actual owner of the body is pure spirit soul. So, when the sage, because of his true knowledge in Krishna consciousness, he has this vision by which he can see who is the actual owner inside his body. And here one important point is given. He sees the Paramatma, the super soul, in each and every body. How can we explain this more clearly? Srila Prabhupada gave an example. If during noon at 12 o'clock when the sun is high in the sky, if you ask a group of people in the street, where is the sun? The person you ask first, he will say, the sun is directly on my head. The second person will say, the sun is directly on my head. The third, the fourth, the fifth, as many people as you ask, they will answer this question with the same answer, that the sun is directly on my head. Now, because there are many people, the sun itself has not been divided. The sun remains one singular entity and it remains undivided. It remains in its place. Similarly, the Paramatma feature of the Lord, he also doesn't divide himself, but he is reflected in all his bodies. So, we have to understand that just like the sun is there in the sky in its own position, it doesn't get itself divided. Similarly, we may say, everyone says in my heart there is Paramatma. But can you say he has divided himself? No. The soul cannot be divisible. Achedyoyam, that we have seen in the earlier part of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains. Achedyoyam means you cannot cut it. So, if the individual soul cannot be cut, how can the supreme soul be cut? So, this is the example given by Prabhupada as to we can understand how the Paramatma gets reflected in all bodies. So, what are these bodies actually? The bodies are explained to be just material productions of different modes of material nature. It is just like that. If we make dolls out of earth, A clay doll may have all the ingredients of a body. This body also is earth. What we see, bone, marrow, flesh, that is earth. A clay doll also has earth. There is water in it, there is fire, because you have to put in the heat so that the body becomes, the clay becomes firm. And there is akash or sky. Similarly, this body is also the same thing. Bhumir apo analo vayu kham mano buddhirevacha ahankara iti yamme bhinna prakritir ashtadha. Krishna explains that all material bodies are essentially but part of my separated energies. What are all energies? He says earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and ego. So, although from our worldly point of view, we see someone is a Brahmin, someone is an outcast, Someone has a body of an elephant, somebody has a body of a dog, somebody has a body of a cow. But we understand the spirit soul is the same, is of the same quality. There is no difference between that. So the question arises, if the soul is the same, why is so much disparity in this world? What is the actual platform of unity? Nowadays especially, we find all the politicians, all the academicians, all the leaders of society, the intelligentsia, they all want to unite everybody on one single platform. Even in the realm of physics and science, they want to give a unified law, some one statement which can explain everything, or a one strata of society where everybody can be accommodated. One definition of this whole universe in motion. So, some years ago, a new school of thought called communism was introduced. In that, they proclaimed everyone is same. Because you have better intelligence doesn't make you a better citizen. We are all products of the same land, this whole thing belongs to us, so we are both same. But unfortunately, because that oneness was based on the bodily platform, it did not sustain. As we see in the example of the Soviet Union, they wanted a classless society. No class, no one is superior, no one is inferior. But still among them, they had someone who was working as an intelligent professor, somebody who was working like a sweeper, they had their different salaries, they had their different places of work, and everything was different. So therefore, even nowadays in India, people very much get angry if they read in the scriptures that someone is defined as a Brahmin or someone is an outcast. They see these are all scriptures which are basically introduced so that one class always remains supreme. It's not like that. Because scientifically it is not now introduced, it is not now followed. Therefore, what in India we have, a perverted reflection of the original caste system. Here Krishna is showing how a learned sage, even though he may encounter a Brahmin or a dog eater, essentially he sees the same person. He may only see that the body is different. Even though encountering the spirit soul in different bodies, he may see, although this is an elephant, this is a dog, essentially they are a spirit soul. But because of their past karma, they have been given these bodies. He has been given the body of a dog because he desired like that dog. He has been given the body of an elephant because his desires were just made so that this body is the sum and substance of his desire. This is how material nature works. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deha upapattaya. It said, karmana, by your own working, daiva netrena, under the supervision of a superior authority, you are given. Janto is the spirit soul, is given different types of bodies. However, in India, first of all, there is one great obstacle. People don't understand what essentially the soul is. Although somebody may say, this is for Atma Santushti, or my Atma is feeling very nice. Even artists, when they use the expression, they say, this is an expression from my soul. But what exactly is the soul? At best, people think the soul means the mind. Mind is not the soul. The different kinds of energies which Krishna has told, 8 of them, earth, water, fire, air, ether, as we see, they grow subtle and subtler and subtler. Earth is very gross. Water is liquid. Fire, you can see fire. Feeling it is a bit difficult. Only because of the heat you can feel it. Air, you cannot even see. Ether, you cannot even conceive of.
mind and intelligence are the most subtle. And beyond that is the ego, beyond that is the soul. The soul is the subtlest of them. Therefore, soul we have to understand as someone who is different from this body. You cannot say that my soul says that my body needs this. The soul and the body are two different entities. Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yovanam jara. In one previous verse, we learned this. Dehino asmin. The dehi, the owner of this body, lives in this sharir, in this deha. Yatha dehe kaumaram yovanam jara. In this very own existence, he sees this body is growing. Just like you may have all purchased a flat in Bombay, sometimes like 25-30 years ago, and within your own lifetime you must have seen it has changed its appearance, the painting has been changed, or the rooms may have been increased or decreased, or some part of the room may have collapsed. Similarly, the soul who is living within this body, he is seeing that this body is, first of all, it's kaumara, a small child's body, yavana, a youth's body, and now jara. Jara is an old body. Tatha dehantara praptir. Similarly, after the body is totally given up, he gets a new body. People say, why? But the Bhagavad says, why not? Because within this body, he has seen the body grow. He has seen at least three types of bodies he has taken and rejected. Rejected in the sense, given up. He has taken the body of a child, he has seen it given up. Now he has taken the body of a young man. Now it's given up. The body of an old man has been taken. So after it has been given up, he gets a new body. So therefore, tatha dehantar praptir dhiras tatrana muyati. The self-realized soul, he doesn't grieve. He is not distressed. So the first point we have to understand is the soul is different from this body. And now in this verse, the super soul is introduced, because the super soul is supposed to be in each and every body. He is like a very, very kind and gentle friend, a very faithful friend. Prabhupada is adding here, the Lord is equally kind to everyone because he treats every living being as a friend, yet maintains himself as Paramatma regardless of the circumstances of the living entities. Actually, in Brahma Samhita, Brahma is praying, Brahmadi Kita Patagavada Yascha Jiva. The living entity may get the body of Brahma. Brahma is the topmost body you can get in this material universe. You are endowed with fantastic intelligence, so long duration of life, very, very refined intelligence. You get the best of everything. You get the chance, the post of becoming a secondary creator. You can create this whole material creation, this material universe. And from Brahma to the meanest insect, Brahmadi Kita Pataga, from the meanest insect, there is a super soul with everyone. A worm, he may lie in stool because that's what he wants. He may be very small. But still, Krishna says, I as the super soul, I always stay with him. I am the only one who never give up. In this world, we may see so many people say that we have so many nice friends. These friends, they are our lifelong friends. We want to stay with each other all the time. And how often than not we see somebody says, oh, I lost my money, I lost my friends. Because as long as you have money, you have friends. As long as you have something which can satisfy the senses of someone, you have friends, you have company, you have relatives, you have everyone. But once you don't have these, you don't have anyone here. So therefore people say that I am lonely. I don't want to live. Basically, nowadays the number one problem in this world is people are bored with life. In fact, we see daily so much advertisement going on in the name of entertainment. So many new and new channels of TV opening up. So many new and new cinemas are coming. But what has given, what all this has given us? Only boredom. And that's why I find in many of the richest countries, people are just committing suicide. They are bored with life because they don't know this one eternal fact. And actually, in this material world, a spirit soul, the individual soul, is never alone. The Lord as super soul is always with him as his most faithful friend. So where does the question of loneliness come? So therefore, the whole essence of the Bhagavad Gita, people say, how can I see God? Actually, God as Paramatma is within you. Or some people, in order to avoid the scriptures, they say, if God is within me, why should I go to a temple? Why should I chant God's name? Why should I listen to Bhagavad Gita? If he is within me, fine. But that doesn't mean you have realized him. In fact, in Bombay, some years ago, there was a very infamous criminal. He killed at least 42 people. And he said, God within my heart told me that you go and kill this person, and I killed him. So there is no fault on my part. Well, if you are such a transparent person that God can talk directly with you, you must be very self-realized. And in the scriptures we have all the criteria of how we can understand who a self-realized person is. It doesn't mean that you can just say, oh, the super soul is talking. Now you are just told that the super soul is there. Many times I feel, today I should not go to the temple. So I think it's the super soul who is telling. In fact, I remember one person, he used to say, I used to tell him that, why don't you come here? It's a very nice temple, there are nice people. We have nice lectures on self-realization. He says, actually, I just asked the super soul. I know there is a super soul in my heart. And he says, let's go to a bar. So I go there. It's he who is giving me the drink. I offer the drink to him and I drink. It's not like that. He, the individual living entity, has to be very pure in order to understand what the super soul is. And basically, Krishna always tells, you have to go to a spiritual master. We saw about 15 days ago the verse about tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanias tattvadarshina. So tattvadarshi, those who have seen the truth, are those who will introduce you to the super soul in your own heart. That is the task of a spiritual master. He doesn't have to take you to the moon to show you God. He just says, go inside. Actually, spiritual life is a process of going inwards. So similarly, here it is said, the similarity in the quality of the soul and super soul does not make them equal in quantity. The first obstacle is whether the body and the soul, or the mind and the soul, or the ego and the soul are one or different. So here we understand, mind, intelligence and ego, they are all material energies. Soul is pure spirit. And now the next important thing is the soul and the super soul one and the same? People think that the Atma and Paramatma are one and the same. They are one and the same in quality only. Just like you may have a gold ring, or someone may have a gold keychain, or a gold necklace, or a gold earring. Comparing that with a gold mine, we can understand both are gold. A gold ring is also gold, and the gold in the mine also is gold. But there is a vast difference in the quantity. You just cannot compare this 3 grams of or 10 grams of gold with the tons and tons of gold which may be found in a gold mine. So therefore, we have to make the second thing clear, that the similarity doesn't end only in quality. It goes on, and we have to understand that only in quality the soul and super soul are same, whereas in quantity the individual soul is having his jurisdiction only within this body. He can understand what happens only in one body only. The super soul, however, he can understand whatever goes on in all bodies. That is the main difference. So, one similarity is, they are both conscious, eternal and blissful. And the difference is, the individual soul is conscious within the limited jurisdiction of the body, whereas the super soul is conscious of all bodies. So therefore, Prabhupada in one book he explains, a person who has understood this, that when I am seeing somebody, am I seeing the body, or I am seeing the soul, or I am seeing the super soul? If he learns the science of Bhagavad Gita, he will understand that I have no need to discriminate. One of the important tenets, important principles of spiritual life, which Srila Prabhupada essentially taught, was that people who want to cultivate spiritual life should not eat meat. Now, immediately if you say something like this, people say, oh, what's wrong with eating meat? If we don't eat meat, there will be so much animal population that there will be no place for us to go on the street. Many people have this kind of fantastic reasoning, that if we don't eat meat, the whole world will be full of chickens. There will be no place to go. The streets will be crowded. What can we do? Or if we don't eat fish, there will be no room, there will be no traffic for the ships to ply. It's not like that. The main reason is, a Vaishnava sees this body is different. This body may be less intelligent. This body may not be fully equipped to defend itself. That doesn't mean I have to kill it. Prabhupada gave the example, in Bombay especially, if you go after 10 o'clock, you may find so many poor people on the street. Many of them may be old or maimed or less intelligent, fools, idiots. If you say, what good are these people doing to the society of Bombay? Or what contribution these people are doing to the city of Bombay? Let me go and kill them. Will it be allowed? Can you say in the court that these people are not productive? They are not doing anything. They are not engineers, not doctors, chartered accountants, artists, painters, nothing. So let us kill them. The state won't allow it. They will say, what right you have just to deprive them of their bodies? Similarly, a person who is addicted to killing someone for its flesh, he should understand that actually I am depriving someone's body very, very unlawfully. Because the soul is the same, the spirit soul is the same, the super soul is the same, only the material production, this body is a material production, that's different. That doesn't give me an excuse that I should kill him. So, as previously stated, this one experiment of communism based on this body, it completely failed. Why? Because it was based on the bodily platform. Just opposing that is the theory of the capitalist, that all of them are equal in the sense everyone can enjoy, everyone can claim his share of prosperity and enjoy. Now, that also doesn't give any equality. So therefore, all through the times, all through advancement of science, technology and everything, people are always trying to have equality. We always see our politicians or leaders, they always preach that you should have equality of vision. There should be no distinction between man and man. But what is the standard? How can you establish such kind of equality? That can be based only if people understand the spiritual science behind that. So therefore, Prabhupada explains that such a pandit, pandita means samadarshina, a person who has equal vision. If you know that this Hare Krishna movement actually is supervised under the guidance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita, they explain in detail how a learned man behaves, how he walks, how he talks. But amongst his devotees we find the real personification of the meaning of these verses. So, actually, in the science of self-realization, Prabhupada explains, no one can be a real Pandit in this sense of the sloka unless he gets the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the six Goswamis, he had six very intimate disciples. They were the six Goswamis. They were Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jeeva Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So these six Goswamis, they are honored because they were really living this standard of a Pandit. They are glorified as Dhir Adhir Janapriyo. They were equally adored and respected by all classes of people because they had this equality of vision. Especially the story of Sanatan Goswami was, it goes like that. He was serving with Nawab Hussain Shah, who was the Muslim governor of Nadia, that is a part of Bengal. The Mohammedans had conquered Bengal at that time, and Sanatan Goswami and his brother Rupa Goswami were actually from Karnataka state, but they had gone, some generations ago, they had transferred themselves from Karnataka to Bengal. They were from the Saraswat family. So at that time, they were so much learned. Both these brothers were expert in Sanskrit, Bengali, Arabic, Persian, and therefore this Nawab, he said, if you two don't serve under me, I am going to convert all of your relatives and friends and everyone into Islam. So just to stop that, they agreed to serve under him. One brother served as his prime minister, one brother served as his personal secretary. So after some time, they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they said, we just don't like to serve under him. At any cost, we want to come and serve you. We want to serve the devotees. So Mahaprabhu, after a long time, he said, he agreed. And at one time, Sanatan Goswami, he could leave his service. He went to Banaras where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. And with a straw in his teeth, he prostrated himself before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he told him, Gramya Vavare Pandita Koe Shatya Kari Mani Apani Hita Hita Kichu Nai Jani. He said, in common parlance, in common language, these people say, I am a Pandit. But the funny thing is, I don't even know who am I. These people say that I know so many languages, I am a big scholar, I can manage all these administrative affairs very nicely. I know almost all the scriptures. They are very great scholars of Bhagavatam. But my most urgent need is, I don't know who am I. My first thing is, I don't know who am I. And why do these three kinds of miseries, they trouble me? The scriptures explain that whatever a person may be in this material world, three kinds of miseries always trouble him. Adhi Daivika, Adhi Bhautika and Adhyatmika. Adhi Daivika miseries are those which are caused by supernatural forces. Earthquakes, volcanoes, fires, famine or floods. Man has no control over these. So these are called Adhi Daivika miseries. Adhi Bhautika are those which are caused by other living entities. A very nasty boss may trouble you, or a very troublesome neighbor may trouble you, or someone else, a policeman may trouble you, or a mosquito may trouble you. So we find that there are always some other living entities who give us trouble. They come under Adhi Bhautika miseries. And last is Adhyatmika. Miseries caused by our own body and mind. Your body may get old, your body may get diseased, or your mind may be not under control. Of course, without self-realization, no one's mind is ever under control. So, Sanatana Goswami was praying, why am I always being troubled by these three kind of miseries? I don't know that, but still I call myself a Pandit. So actually he was showing by his humility. Nowadays we find many people given the title of Pandit. They may be politicians, they may be scholars in some language, they may be expert musicians, but actually the real criteria of a Pandit is he has this equal vision. He has realized what the soul is, what the super soul is. So in this way, people ask, what good is this science of Bhagavad Gita for the society as a whole? What can it contribute? What is the contribution of the scriptures? The most vital and most important contribution is, if the leaders of the society, if the intelligent people of the society, if they understand what the science of the soul is, what the science of the super soul is, immediately so many of the maladies, so many of the problems which are plagued to the society today, they can be removed. The only problem is, today's leadership is so blind. In fact, even in the scriptures, we find somebody behaving very badly. Somebody may not be following the proper regulations, proper principles. But the essence was, such kind of instances were very rare. One in a million. But nowadays we find that people don't even trust their own leaders. Why is that? Because the leadership is totally blind. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, he went and preached this movement outside India. The only purpose was, if we want to just imitate the Westerners, if the Western people come and preach to us about this Bhagavad Gita, maybe these Indians would again take to it enthusiastically. And so nowadays we find that essentially the Western devotees of Srila Prabhupada, they are very enthusiastic. They know that this is a very great science. This can help really in solving most of the problems which are plagued to today's society. And the most important one is, how can we see each other as a friend, as a brother? Unless you have the relationship with Krishna, the super soul, how can you understand whether somebody is soul or not? Srila Prabhupada should give a very nice example. When there is a marriage between two families, essentially the relationship is between one boy and one girl. The boy becomes a husband, the girl becomes a wife. But for the girl, when she marries a person, that ceremony just doesn't stop there. That single male person becomes her husband, his father becomes her father-in-law, his mother becomes her mother-in-law, his sister becomes her sister-in-law. Immediately because of that one relationship, so many relationships get evolved. Similarly, nowadays, the whole society is based on exploitation. Individuals compete, even though somebody is studying in an engineering institute, or a medical institute, or a management institute. We know that all 80 of us, or 90 of us, are in the same batch, but we are all competitors. If we join a company or organization, then also we are competing. As companies we compete, as states we compete, as nations we compete, and therefore, the whole situation gives rise to what is known as might is right. Just somebody who has a power, he says whatever I say is correct. And therefore, the whole tendency is towards exploitation. In fact, even when people meet each other, the only reasoning is, how can this person benefit me? If this person can be of any use to me, I would like to have some friendship with him. If he is not, then better nothing to do with him. So, the example is further explained. When you understand what the super soul is, when you understand what the soul is, your relationship is with the super soul. But because that relationship is established, you understand, oh, he is also my brother. He is also my brother. Everyone whom I see, every living entity is essentially my brother. Because we are all sons of the same father. And wherever I see, I have to see the same super soul. He is there. So how can you just say that all Indians are my brothers? Or all Brahmins are my brothers? Or all people from this UP state are my brothers? This sounds foolish. So when you find people cooperating, oh, we are from the same state, we are from the same caste, we are from the same subcaste. This all gives rise to just plain body consciousness. These things can never, never give any hope for society. In fact, we have seen over the last so many years, when people excessively love something, the only result is they excessively hate something. This is very true in the material sense. In World War II, the Germans were encouraged to love their country beyond anything else. So that's very good, people say. They love their country, they are so famous for their patriotism. But what happened is, because they excessively loved something on the bodily platform, they immediately started to hate something on that same bodily platform. As a result of that war, 240,000 people lost their lives. So, this material world, because it is based solely on this bodily consciousness, can never have peace. It can never have peace. It is essentially a place of misery and a temporary place. A temporary place. Because we are so much infatuated by this place, we are surprised. Three, appear surprised if there is misery. When someone dies, we have so much surprise on our face. Oh, how did this happen? He died? My God. But when he was born, nobody was surprised. Because we think birth is normal. But other three things are also normal. Birth, old age, disease, death. So, unless we come to this platform of having equal vision, we cannot get happiness. In fact, controlling the mind is very important. Because Krishna says, one who has controlled his mind is as good as achieving the super soul. It is compared to that. You can realize the super soul in everybody's heart if you just control your own mind. So, this Mahamantra, which was preached by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all the devotees are preaching very enthusiastically nowadays, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In fact, the meaning is the same. How to control your mind? How is that? Mantra. Man is the mind. And tra means to liberate. Liberate or to deliver. From what? The mind is liberated or the mind is delivered from its material state of consciousness. Mind is actually a colorless entity. Whatever you can put into it, it takes that color. If the mind is attached to material objects, it gets that material tinge. If the mind is dovetailed towards spiritual things, it helps. When you start your first step in spiritual life, you may find that this mind is very hard to control. In fact, nowadays people think, oh, we don't need this bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is for someone who just can't do jnana yoga, can't do raj yoga, can't do hatha yoga or whatever. Arjuna, of all people, he was the one who said, chanchalam hi mana krishna pramati balavad dridam. tasyaham nigraham manye vayu riva sudushkaram. He says, oh Krishna, you say I should control my mind, but mind is very, very restless, turbulent. It cannot be controlled, I confess. Actually, it is so hard to control. It actually, wind can be controlled, but not the mind. Vayo riva sudushkaram. Now, in many places of the USA and many places in the South Pacific, they have these tornadoes. Tornadoes are very quickly forming changes in the atmosphere, resulting in very, very high velocity winds. They are so quickly forming that with all their modern scientific research, with all their early warning systems, everything, the only thing the scientists can do is just run away. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, just leave everything and run away, because the tornado is coming. And when it comes, people find that so many acres of crops are destroyed, so many houses collapse, so many electricity poles are collapsed, so much damage, billions of dollars of damage. So if someone tries to control a tornado like that, what chance he has? But Arjuna is saying, if it was possible, it may be possible to do that, but the mind cannot be controlled. It is so difficult. So are we to assume that our position is greater than that of Arjuna? That by any other system of yoga, we can control our mind? In fact, there was a person who went to a sadhu. He said, I actually don't believe in all you sadhus and saints. I want to see God. I want to realize Him. And you have to show me the easiest way, otherwise you are all frauds. So he said, okay, what can you talk to such a person if he is so obstinate? You come to me in 7 days, the sadhu told him. And what should I do within that 7 days? No need to meditate on anything, no need to fast, no need to read any scripture. All you have to do is never to think of a monkey. He said, that's all? He said, yeah. So he says, this person, if you don't give me the power to realize God, I will expose you as a fraud, as a sham. He says, okay, no problem. So he went away. He came after 7 days. He says, so? He says, what should I tell you? Actually, for so many years, the thought of a monkey would never have occurred in my mind. But for the last 7 days, it was nothing but monkey, 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 nothing else. Why was that? I don't know. I was not told to do any exercise, no other scriptural practice, nothing. Why is this? Because at one point of time, when you try to discipline your mind, the mind rebels. It is like, you know, these people who are advertised, these wrestlers, they are shown all over Bombay now. They are called by different names, killers and barbarians and something like that. Imagine yourself being put against them in a big freestyle wrestling match. What chance you have of success? If you say to that person, I'll try to break your teeth. Imagine if he just gives you one blow, you are all flat on the ground. Similar is the case with your mind. For so many countless ages, so many countless births, always you have done what your mind has told you. And now the mind has become a very bulky heavyweight wrestler. And you are a very thin person. So what can you do? If you say, please sir, will you sit down for a moment? I want to chant Hare Krishna. He says, no, I won't allow you. So when you say, please, please, he says, no, nothing, no, please. So what do you have to do? Arjuna says, it's very difficult. I know it's impossible. Krishna also says, I know it's impossible. Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagena cha. He says, by renunciation and by practice. Actually, what is renunciation? We are not trained for any to renounce anything. In fact, the world today says, just acquire. Whatever you see, you just acquire. So it's very difficult. This Dhyana Yoga, Hatha Yoga, all these are very difficult. How can you get this equal vision unless you are fixed in yoga? This is one point. The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna advises in the Bhagavad Gita, by all means you be a yogi, be fixed in yoga. Yoga means plus or joining. When the spirit soul, the individual soul, is joined in consciousness with the supreme soul, that is called yoga. But how is it possible for him unless he is ready to take the first few basic steps? Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna himself, but he is the Supreme Lord in the form of his own devotee. Just like in school, a teacher may take the hand of a pupil and he may teach him, this is the way you have to write A, this is B. Somebody may say, oh, the teacher himself is learning ABC. It's not like that. He is teaching his pupil, his student, how he should understand what is A, what is B, what is C, like that. So similarly, because in Kali Yuga, people are so mad after sense gratification. Everywhere we see, nobody wants to restrain himself. People think they are advanced. But the thing is, the scriptures say, to the measure you are renounced from this world, that shows your sanity. That shows your level of intelligence. Not that, to the level you try to indulge in everything. So therefore, this is the state of the world today. Nobody wants to reason, nobody wants to think for a moment where I am going. Everybody is busy, going nowhere. If you ask somebody, why are you busy? I don't know, but I am busy. So, when everybody is busy for so much sense gratification, how can they understand what is written in all the voluminous scriptures? Therefore, the Kali Santana Upanishad advises, Harer Nam, Harer Nam, Harer Nam Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyaiva, Nastyaiva, Nastyaiva Gatiranyatha. By steadily doing this concentration on the holy name, this sound is very pure. The sound is spirit. The sound is not material. The Mahamantra doesn't belong either to the category of earth, either water, either fire, either air, or mind, or intelligence, or even ego. There are so many mantras which can transform the earth, which can transform water, which can transform fire, air, even ether. There are so many magicians going on as spiritual swamis who do some tricks. You may not find in this temple someone who can read your mind. But if you go to a place where if you enter this room and he can read your mind, he can say, oh, I know you have come because your daughter is not yet married. And you may say, my God, this person is a great spiritual person. Actually, he has the art of understanding your mind. That is a material science. That cannot ultimately help you. Somebody may give you benedictions. That also may be in the form of material products. They also cannot ultimately help you. Here we are dealing with a totally different topic. What we want is equal vision based on spiritual understanding. That can be had only when you have something which is spiritual. And therefore, the scriptures assure us, this Mahamantra is not at all material. Narottam Das Thakur was the great Acharya. He says, Golokher Premadhana Hari Naam Sankirtana. He says, this Mahamantra actually is a treasure directly imported from Goloka Vrindavan. This is not a commodity of this place. So, when we chant this sound vibration, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Slowly and slowly, our mind gets the necessary discipline. The mind knows how it has to be disciplined now. Because the intelligence gets nourishment. It is said, this body is like a chariot. The five senses are the horses. You are the passenger in the chariot. The mind is the rein. And intelligence is the charioteer. Now can you imagine, if you are sitting in a chariot, the chariot is very nicely polished, there are 5 very stout horses, the reins are also very strong, but the chariot is a person who looks like a TB patient. He has no strength, he is all emaciated, his all bones are showing, his ribs are showing. How can he control those reins? If he just gives a small tug, the whole chariot blasts away and you say, my God, where am I going? These 5 horses may just crash anywhere. And you tell that person, control those horses. He has no strength. How can he control them? So, by steadily cultivating the science of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, what you are doing is, you keep the body as it is. Not that you destroy the body or you destroy the senses. You can't do anything with the mind either. You can make the intelligence very strong. You can make that person who is a charioteer very strong. And when he gives a very sharp tug, if he pulls the reins, the horses have to stop. Now if you try, the horses go more wild because the intelligence is not strong. So by giving steady knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, steady association of devotees, steadily chanting every day, reading some scriptures, eating Krishna Prasad, these are the ways in which the charioteer gets nourishment. He gets stronger and stronger. And this is the way you can cultivate this science. This is the way you can understand what the soul is, what the super soul is, and this is the way you can fix it in equal vision. And in this equal vision, there is no suffering. There is no distinction based on caste, creed, species, anything. That person is very happy. So, I think we'll stop here. If there are any questions, you can ask. Or we can wait for the night darshan. Anybody would like to ask any questions?
If Hare Krishna, if it is said that we are one with God in quality, how is it so difficult to express our divine qualities, divine nature?
It becomes difficult because the soul is one in quality and different in quantity. Just like fire, the supreme soul can be compared to fire. The spirit soul can be compared to a spark of the fire. So when the spark is away from the fire, if it falls on ground, it can remain for some time. If it falls on water, it is totally extinguished. If it falls on dry grass, it can be again be developed into a fire. So similarly, these are the 3 modes of material nature: sattva, raja and tama, or mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. So when the spirit soul is in the mode of ignorance, the covering is very thick. In fact, laziness, indolence and sleep are the only characteristics of a person in the mode of ignorance. In the mode of passion, there is much hard work for enjoyment. In the mode of goodness only, he can get knowledge of the spirit soul, of the supreme soul, how he can again develop that relationship. So the only difficulty is, because of the modes of ignorance and passion, they make life very difficult. Krishna says charity, penances, austerity, food, everything is in the mode of, everything comes under these 3 modes. You can have food in the mode of ignorance, food in the mode of passion. You can have charity in the mode of ignorance, charity in the mode of passion. So as long as you are doing any activity which is in the mode of ignorance and passion, it becomes difficult. As soon as you start developing your activities based on the mode of goodness, and slowly you rise even above the mode of goodness, then this yoga is very easily possible.
Oh, may my సదుచారణై కనుపున సద్ధర్మ సమస్తాపక లోకానాం హితకారిణం త్రిభువనే మన్నం సద్ధర్మ సంస్థాపక లోకానాం హితకారిణం త్రిభువనే మన్నం శరణం చైతన్య కృపాపరం లోకానాం హితకారిణం త్రిభువనే మన్నం శరణం.